So a few announcements before the homily. First, I just want the entire parish family to be aware of the immense spiritual attack that we are under. We have entered a campaign of Christian service. We've entered Lent. Yesterday, we made some major news in heaven. We had massive, beautiful masses. So many people came in order to receive ashes. We put our ashes on our forehead, as our tradition calls for. And all the faithful went out in order to give witness to the Lord Jesus throughout the world by their ashes. Confessions abounded yesterday. Powerful confessions. The vast majority of our homebound were anointed and prepared for Lent. Look at how much grace this parish called down from God. The devil hates it. It means he hates us. And we're going to keep fighting. And we're going to keep calling down grace. And we're going to keep doing the Lord's work. And eventually the devil's going to get so tired. He's either just going to go back to hell where he belongs, or he's eventually just going to get so weak that he just becomes a little punching bag, right? But I want you to recognize the spiritual reality of what we are undergoing, of what we are all participating in. And I want you to be a part of it. So today after Mass, we have our novena to St. Peregrine. That's one way in which we call on one Holy One to pray for all of our loved ones, the members of our parish who are fighting cancer, some of whom are fighting fear of death. So we need to call down and continue to call down that grace. I'm going to ask if you can stay for those prayers. Please do so. And we had some work on our confessional. Not only did we exhaust it spiritually, we wore that thing out. We had to bring contractors in today to fix it. Not even kidding. So there's no confessions after Mass, but we have Mass after all the weekend Masses this weekend. This is the third weekend of the month. So after every weekend Mass, confessions are available. I'm going to ask you, if you haven't gone to confession yet, because it's Lent, make sure you get to confession. But I think about two-thirds of the parish went to confession yesterday, right? I'm going to ask you to really use this Lent well and understand that grace, that's God's life and power within us, is a generous gift. We just have to show up and do what the Lord asks. And he pours his grace upon us, our loved ones, upon our parish. So understand and do not forget the spiritual reality, nor the spiritual battle. If you find yourself thinking, I don't need to go to confession. I don't need to make this consecration to St. Joseph. By the way, it's day 4 of preparation. I don't need to do all these other things. Recognize where that's coming from. That's not from your heart. You were made in God's image. We were made to dwell with God. All those thoughts and that laziness, you send that back to hell. That's the devil trying to steal your zeal, your energy. So make sure that you realize and understand what we are called to do as individuals, as families, and as a parish. And let's just keep punching the devil until he eventually just realizes that he's lost. The spiritual masters tell us the one thing the devil hates the most, absolutely despises, is when the children of God laugh at him. You have no power here. You are nothing but a creature beneath us in the level of grace. Go to hell. You are so weak, huh? Laugh at the devil, dear friends. Fight the good fight. Show up and receive God's grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I was thinking during Lent, what can we do as a parish? What could be the series that we can do in order to draw closer to God? So for the weekend masses, I thought, well, maybe it's important that we go back to the Ten Commandments. We all know them, I hope. We all relatively are trying to fight and live by them, I hope. But it's important that we dive into the depth of the Ten Commandments. Because whenever I go into a Christian home and I see some statue of Buddha, I'm confused. Or whenever I hear, even in public, people using the Lord's name in vain, with total disregard, no thought, no sense of deference. Even when they see a priest in Roman collar, it's just become common jargon now. When we see people forget the Sabbath, or how we are called to live as people of integrity and honesty, I realize maybe it's good for us this Lent as a parish family, for our weekend, our Sunday masses, to walk through the Ten Commandments. And parents, I'm going to mention this again on the weekends. Please note that March 13th and 14th, that weekend, will be when I discuss the sixth and the ninth commandments. It means we're going to talk about sexual matters. So either prepare your children or exercise the dispensation and keep them home. We want to guard their innocence. We need to address all the matters pertaining to what it means to be a child of God and all the threats to virtue, including modesty, impurity, and chastity. So I'll remind you of that March 13th and 14th. But that's for the weekends. I thought, what can we do for the daily masses? We've never really taken on a series for the daily masses. And today we have some powerful scriptures. Moses telling the people of God, God has placed before us life and death, the promise and the curse. Which will we accept? Talk is cheap. What do our actions say? And today the Lord reminds us of the importance of what it means to take up our cross and to follow him. You know, later in our Lord's ministry, he will say that if we're not willing to take up his cross, we are not worthy of him. So are we willing to take up our cross? But you know, all that begins from true worship. When we humble ourselves and acknowledge, I'm not the center of this world. I'm not the center of my world. And we're willing to die to ourselves, humble ourselves, and to acknowledge that God is God. That means we worship him as he has commanded. We obey him as he has commanded. We live our lives as he has commanded. So I thought, well, maybe we could do a nice little series on what it means to worship God. Now, you've already heard parts of this in my homilies over the past couple of weeks. Because it just profoundly bothers me. How many people think that they can improve the Mass or somehow make it better, as if this is all human creation, or those who have completely abandoned the faith. We are told that Catholicism is a religion of habit, and the pandemic has broken the habit, and the faithlessness of so many people has been exposed. They just give up on Mass. They're riding the dispensation. They're eating out at restaurants. They're doing massive shopping sprees. They're everywhere except their house of worship, everywhere except the Mass. Well, I don't feel safe. That has its place among some and is appropriate. But if you're all over society except your church, when are you going to be honest and say, you know, that's just not important to me anymore? So we see the extremes, those who want to turn the Mass into a circus and those who have left the Mass. So maybe those of us who understand worship or want to understand worship should approach and say, what does it mean to worship God? Again, on the weekends, we're going to talk about the worship that comes and the obedience that comes from worship. What about worship itself? First and foremost, we have to acknowledge when we come to worship that we are taking a posture of humility. Do you notice how many times in the Mass we ask God to accept, to accept, to accept? Because we acknowledge that we come before God with empty hands, a poverty of spirit. We cannot worship God as he commands us. We rely even in the act of worship on the help of his spirit, the assistance of his grace. We approach with total docility. I am nothing, Lord. I come before you simply because in your sheer goodness, you have called me and allowed me to come before you. Accept this humble offering. That's worship. Let's look at the beginning of the Mass. First of all, get this. It is not that the Mass is biblical. I've seen some really great books, they can be helpful, that show all the biblical basis of the Mass. It's good. That has its place. But oftentimes they're starting on the wrong foot. As a Christian community, we were worshiping God long before the Bible was written or canonized. We didn't have a full canon, the official list of the New Testament, until the 4th century. We were celebrating the Eucharist in catacombs and hidden places and backwoods areas of the empire long before anything was written down. That means that the Mass isn't biblical. The Bible is liturgical. We were recounting the Lord's story by oral tradition and by the celebration of Mass before it was written down. It was written down and preserved in the mind of the church because we were celebrating it. And I pray that you understand the power of what that means. and to place the scriptures in their proper context. The first and most important place for the Mass, excuse me, for the Bible, is the Mass. It means we have to understand the relationship between what we do at the altar and how we approach the sacred word. But let's dive in a little bit more. Do you realize that in the penitential rite at the beginning of the Mass, there's that pause? In fact, I spoke to our deacon candidates, and I said, let's not deprive the people of God of that pause. Let us call to mind our sins. That's not poetics. I am commanding you, as your priest, call to mind your sins. I'm giving you the pause to do so. Why? Because, dear friends, do you realize that the minor absolution that's given at the beginning of Mass absolves venial sin? That if you approach for sacrifice and you have these venial sins and you confess them in your heart at that moment, then the minor absolution absolves them so that you can approach this altar with even purer hearts? And yet, what do some do? Why is he waiting so long? Did they forget who's supposed to talk next? There are times I can even physically feel a discomfort. In large part, perhaps, because you didn't understand that pause is for you. That you might prepare well to worship God. You know, St. Augustine, he writes that he believed that the original sin was actually a venial sin. That's not the teachings of the church, it's the opinion of St. Augustine. But it was a venial sin that brought down the whole of creation and the fall of human nature. That can shock us, and I mention that in order that we can understand the severity of any sin. Sometimes I get the impression people think, oh, well, the mortal sins, those are the big ones you have to be careful of, yes. But the venial sins, you know, they're okay. No. Imagine if I walked up to you with a knife and I just cut you. Hey, wait, what are you doing? It's okay, it's just venial. I mean, I didn't punch you in the heart or stab you in the heart, right? Just a cut, it's okay. That would be insane. That's what venial sin does to our soul. It just cuts. And it causes us eventually to be desensitized. So understand the power of that penitential rite. That's so we can prepare our hearts to make sure that we're ready. Use that pause well. There's more to be said. I told you it's going to be a whole series for Lent. You guys are going to be experts of the Mass by the time it's over, all right? I'll just give you one more thing that I want you to focus on. After the penitential rite, then I invoke the prayer, let us pray. That's the orans. Only I'm supposed to be doing that. Don't do this. You're baptized. You have different roles to play. Don't do this. That's not your job. I know that's become popular in some parishes because they don't follow the Roman rite. They don't follow our traditions. But this is not the role of the laity. Whenever you see a priest do this, he's gathering your prayers with him. And I say, let us pray, and I put the orans up. And there's a pause. That pause isn't because I'm waiting for the server to come with the book, or I'm pausing in order to catch my breath. That pause is for you, the baptized, to state your intention for this Mass. You know my intention because I publicly declare it. I surrender my intention to any member of the faithful who's requested it. But you, as the baptized, you have the power to offer your own intention. And how oftentimes have the baptized missed that? The power of a Mass you could have applied to some intention, and you didn't do it because you were worried about when this priest was going to start the prayer. Let us pray. Pause. In your heart, state your intention for this family member, for this person, for that intention, for this labor of the church. And then I say the church's intention. Have you ever looked at our opening prayer? If you think it's an opening prayer, you're kind of disappointed. Because more formally, it's called the collect, because I'm literally collecting your intentions. And I'm saying Mother Church's intention. Oftentimes, if you look at the opening collect, you begin to realize it's really just a statement of an intention. It's not really a prayer as we might normally envision that. Because after we offer our personal intentions, the priest offers the formal intention of the church. I want you to pay attention to these aspects of the introductory rites of the Mass. All of them are meant to prepare us for worship, to get the venial sins off our souls, to approach God clean of heart, and to state our intention. Imagine the person who says, in that time of calling to mind sins, well, I was belligerent to the other drivers on the highway. I was rude to the woman this morning at the grocery store. I was abrupt to a member of my family. Gone. Minor absolution takes all that away. And then let us pray. I pray for that member of the family that I was abrupt to this morning. I offer the graces of this Mass for that person because I love them. That's a great preparation for worship. That's a good use of the introductory rites. That's choosing when God places before us life and death, blessing and the curse. True worship is the choosing of life and the promises of God and all his blessings. So we're going to continue to walk through Lent and dive into the different parts of the Mass, so that we can understand all the spiritual treasures that are hidden within this powerful sacrifice. As we offer this Mass today, ask God to give you true worship. And the next time you come to Mass, make sure you confess your venial sins. Be sure, as the baptized, to offer your intention for the Mass that you're participating in.